Change can be scary, but we have to continuously look for the change. So it's looking for those opportunities, asking for feedback from our patients, from our teams, from outside the company, and then applying the feedback.
This is Growth in Dentistry, a dental intelligence podcast where we ask the question, what does growth in dentistry look like to you? I'm Katie Polson, a dental hygienist and your host. Welcome to Growth in Dentistry, a dental intelligence podcast. I'm Katie Polson, and we're doing another DSO episode, and we have an exceptional guest. I mean, Jessica just keeps like hitting them out of the park with the people she's bringing on today. And so we're excited to get into our topic today with our phenomenal guest, Sarah Allen from Heartland. But before we get started, I want to welcome those that are first-time listeners. Glad that you're here. This particular episode is DSO-focused, but that doesn't mean that it probably won't pertain to you if you are in an individual practice. That being said, we do have other great episodes out there. We've got some short episodes, 30-minute actionable, that are called our growth series, and we also have our deep dive episodes, which go into for about an hour, particularly with individual practices on what they do really great and how that shows up in their metrics. So something for everyone. Go check it out if you're new to the show. If Facebook is a place that you like to play and hang out, please find us there at our dental intelligence community. And then also, if you are not a current customer and you want to be one of dental intelligence or just see how it would work in your practice, you can go to get.dentalintel.com/podcast, and we will give $50 to our listeners for completing a demo. So, and that link will also be in our show notes. Without further ado, oh, I've got Jessica here. Jessica Lammers. Hey. She's got a nice, I have my fake deep attractive voice from COVID, but she has her real one. And so welcome.
Well, I got stuck with it, you know. Anyways, I think puberty hit me a little late in life, but well, I'd like to welcome Sarah Allen here. She's actually a dear friend of mine. We met, I don't know, almost like 10 years ago, it feels like. It maybe was, but yeah. It feels like yesterday. And we met at orientation that she was, I think, teaching. And she was like, hey, would you consider moving to Chicago? And I was like, hey, you know, I just got a dog and myself, why not? And so I did. But I'm glad to have her on the call today, or podcast, so we can ask some really in-depth questions, because if you don't know Sarah and you haven't had the pleasure of working with her, she's really great at training in all facets of the business side of dentistry. So welcome, Sarah. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Thank you. That was a great introduction. I appreciate that, Jessica. Yes, I'm Sarah Allen. I live in Joliet, Illinois, and work for Heartland Dental. Heartland Dental is the largest DSO in the nation, so we're proud of that. But we come with so much. So I've been blessed to work with them since 2008 in different facets, like Jessica was saying. I started as a business team member and supported our clinicians that way. And then I got creative and asked if I could write a job design and become a trainer. And so I trained within our region, which then expanded into creating 36 additional trainers like me. With the company, they had accepted and took that on, which was really exciting. And I think just my passion comes out when I'm training, and it doesn't feel like training. It feels like just growing others. And I learn at the same time that they're learning, which is great. And then I did that for 6.5 years, and then took on a regional support administrator role, which I've been doing for the last 7 years. And in that, I support 1 to 2 regions at a time, and I'm the regional directors of operations business partner. And so I work with them on strategy, initiatives, just different ideas in so many different facets. So hygiene being one of those, clinical and team education, recruiting, so many different pieces. I'm like, it just goes on at anything that has to do with the region. Accounts receivable was the last one. But yeah, I love having my hands in so many different pieces and then still being able to train or mentor others at the same time. So that's what this role lets me do. And so it's fun. I
That's
love
awesome.
I mean, who thought I was going to be in dentistry? One, coming from, you know, my background. but it's been something that I fell in love with for sure.
Well, you're really good at it. And just to like shed some light, she did say largest DSO in the nation. And then she says she's helping two regions, which that's pretty large if I can recall right. So
yeah.
That's a lot of hats that you're wearing. So congrats to you. Kudos. So with that, I know that you've, you know, had your hands in the pot of like training business assistants, but that also goes into like the team and how they're all working together. And so I thought you'd be a really good person to ask questions about case acceptance. And that's kind of our topic of discussion today. So there's lots of things that go into preparing for a treatment plan to a patient, but what would you say is the most important and why?
Customer service and the different parts of customer service. So I think as a business team member, you have to know dental, right? You have to know the dental terminology that you're going to walk into, and you have to know insurance. And so that's like the background information, but to walk into a room and have customer service and present a treatment plan, that's the overall customer service of case acceptance. Like you will get case acceptance if you have customer service. And there's so many different pieces that go into that. So I would say for me is just the person. You have to treat them like family. So it's not a number. It's not the treatment plan. It's a person that you're walking into and being able to sit next to them instead of sitting across the table from them so that we're in a partnership. It's the having a systematic approach so that you know you want to welcome them. You know, you want to know their name. You want to know how their visit went. So I think it's just having that systematic approach, treating them like family. If we treat it like a job, then you will know your case acceptance will go down. Yeah. It's being treated like a technical piece. That's a job. But if you can treat it with customer service and have good customer service when you do it, you'll knock it out of the park every time.
I would say that's probably what your dad's success was, if you haven't known. But Sarah has a dad that was in the ice cream soft serve business for 36 years. And she actually recently got asked to come back and train the new owner, the second time owners after her dad, to help like figure out what, you know, they did differently to make it successful. And I think that you've honed in on a really good piece that sometimes people overlook because we do get wrapped up in the technical aspect of treatment plans and presenting them. And, you know, we can know all your insurance and all those benefits, but if we don't know, you know, the person that we're talking to and how we can relate this, you know, they came in, it may not have necessarily been a want, but they may need it. But how do we want them to take care of it today or sometime in the near future?
Yeah, our body language, our words. I mean, if we're cold, it's already a cold environment. It's a medical practice. And so if we're cold and we're just technical, they're not going to connect. And so it's being that warm and knowing that not everybody loves the dentist. It's not like ice cream. They don't love coming to the dentist. And so it's hard and you can't be overly excited that they're there. You just have to be understanding. And that's a big piece of it.
You can't just say like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad you're here today.
You have this toothache. Like a little kid that you're like, can't get too excited. You like scare them off. They're skittish. I actually have never thought about this, but thinking about it as like a relationship, you know, like with first time, like, because that's really what it is a patient relationship. But if you're trying to date someone, you don't come on strong right away, you know.
Yeah, you can't be cold either. You can't be cold and aloof. That doesn't work either. So, you know, oh, that's so funny.
So I want to kind of like ask you, you know, you've invested a lot in your efforts into the business side of business assistance. I hate to use terms because everybody uses a term so differently. Yeah. And then some people take offense to the titles. And so I don't want to the important piece, the person that's sitting at the front desk doing lots of different jobs, whatever their title is. But is there other pieces in the practice that, you know, lead up to the case acceptance part? Like, synergy wise, is there something that you would say that also plays into the overall, the patient saying yes at the end of the day?
Oh, I totally agree with the words that you use, the team synergy. Like, we are a team, and that patient is in the waiting room or in, you know, the reception area and in the patient room, and they're listening. Like, who isn't listening? And they're listening and they're watching what we do, because it's very important that they kind of feel the vibe, what's going on in this practice. And they can sense that very quickly with their observations. And so if our synergy is off and we're not working well together and we're not talking, and there's the doctor didn't transfer well to the hygienist, or the hygienist back to the doctor, they're going to sense it and they're going to feel it. And they're like, you know, I'm good. It just didn't feel right. And they, right. We go a lot by our gut, right? Especially with large purchases. Or investments into where we're using our money. And so if our team isn't on point with how we're communicating well and how we are transferring, even if we're not saying words, then the patient's going to feel it.
How would you train a team to have better synergy if they've kind of gotten lower case acceptance and some indicators telling them that, you know, it may not be there and doing well?
I think it's the, Jessica knows this, I love role play. She probably was involved in many trainings with that. But doing an activity where they can self-discover. So if it's without having patients in the practice, doing an activity where we play around and we have a fake patient come in, maybe it's our doctor's going to be the patient, and we're going to go through the stages of that patient being in our practice. And then we're going to have some of the team observing at the same time. What do they see? What did we miss? What could we do better? And then coming back and then all discovering what those pieces are. Like, how can we change by 1% to make it better, to make that patient feel more comfortable? Or how that patient said no to the treatment. Why? Let's dig in a little bit further. Let's go back to their health history. And so it's just those different activities where you can piece it back. There's always something. So if you look into the details, it really helps you find why that patient said no. And it's usually from the first call. What was their chief complaint when they called us and they made that appointment? What were they there for? Did we address it? Did we take care of it for them? And if we didn't and we went around it, they're usually like, I'm out. Like, it's not why I was here. I just wanted you to break. I just want my broken tooth fixed, you know? Mm-hmm. And we're like, do you want whitening?
I think you brought up, oh, sorry.
Kate. No, I was just going to ask, because we're talking, you know, because Heartland is the biggest DSO in the nation. I think that a lot of DSOs or dental enterprise or whatever, however you want to say what multiple locations you have, they look to you guys a lot oftentimes. And I think why we have someone from this company, how does that scale? How do you get that on a multiple, because at a region, that's a lot of people that you're over. I can see how that would work.
Direction.
Yeah. And going all, yeah, like that, like steering that ship, all that same, it's hard enough at a single location. When I worked at a practice, you know, with 25 of us, I cannot even imagine. So yeah. How do you guys achieve that?
So every office is doctor led. And so I think that's important to just mention, like, we don't go in and say, this is how you have to do it. We will bring you the proven systems, and then how can you put those in place? How could this help your practice? Because we affiliate with large groups and small groups and one doctor practices, and we learn from them as well. So I think a big piece of Heartland Dental, why they're so successful, is they have a vision and mission that has not changed in 25 years, and they are consistent. And the consistency is that we're constantly evolving. So if we get a large group that does something better than what we're doing, because everybody does great things, and then we're like, wow, how could we apply that to us to make ourselves better? It's that constant evolving. But how do we get all of us to be going in the same direction other than the vision and mission? I think is just consistency of training. So our training materials, not everybody's doing their own training in every area. When there's training, it's the same for everyone. They get to hear the same words and how it's being role played. And then they get to take it and put it into their offices and how they want to apply it. But the training is consistent.
Yeah. What does that look like? Because again, I just so DSO ignorant. How often are you training? Like how often do you train? Like, is this like once a year, bi-monthly? I have no idea.
I'm going to say daily. I feel like daily offices are training. It's constant because we have, say a new team member joins us. Mm-hmm. They don't know. And so we have to kind of retrain. How are we going to do this with this new team member? The training is available at all times. And so we have a blended learning approach where we have, modules. So training modules that are available, and those are part of their training pathway when they come in, and then can be accessed at any time if you needed a refresher and those kind of things. But then in the practices, they're working on their practice every 3 months. They have a business meeting just to work on their business. And so in those moments, they're doing kind of that activity of what in their practice, based on some metrics, based on feedback, do they need to work on? And then they're role playing, and then they're digging in, and then they're coming up with a solution. So they're doing their own trainings pretty much as a team without interruption every quarter.
Yeah. Thanks for letting me like pull on that thread a little bit. I just felt like taking, you know, from the single location to the 100+ location, like that training piece, I think often gets very missed at a smaller, it sounds to me like the biggest difference between, you know, making it so everyone's on the same path and not. So really cool. Awesome. Sorry.
No, I think you got off on a really good subject because I've worked at Heartland and with Sarah, it's like, I almost know some of those things and I just think it's like common knowledge to everybody else. Thanks for reminding us that it's not, and that there is a niche obviously there because they are the largest DSO. Sarah, like I know you brought up the training pathways. Do you want to dive a little bit more in depth? Like, is that learning modules? Is that a mentor? Like what, like does that look like? Is it time frames? When do they end? Do they get a completion kind of thing?
Absolutely. So a new team member, be a business team member, a dental assistant, a hygienist, a hygiene assistant, even our doctors, our practice administrators, all roles have a training pathway that is module based to begin with. And then they have that's one piece of the blended learning. And then the other piece is having a mentor or a trainer or a peer helping them in every step of the way. So there's different activities that they complete from a daily to a weekly aspect with that peer, mentor, or trainer. And that way they're not just on a computer and it's telling them all the technical, and it might give them some activities or role play, but it's the real life experience to connect it to them, to make it real. And we know everybody learns different. So some people hate being on a module, like I'm not getting anything. I need to touch it. I need to do it. And so by the blended approach, they get to hear everything the same. Again, it's that consistency approach. And then they get to apply it using their hands, having it live in person with that. And so our training programs the initial program is about 2 months. And then they get their certificate of completion, but it also includes virtual classes. Mm-hmm. So there's a couple different classes that they are live. We have live presenters and groups of people, groups of new hires attending, so they can network, they can learn from others, they can gain that experience. And then in-person class that goes over just communication tools and something that you join as a team so that you can just improve your communication skills, which we know are important too.
Yeah, that's really neat. It's definitely changed a lot since I was there, and this sense of like blended approach. I think we were still old school in some ways of in person. But I love to hear that because, you know, when as you get bigger, you start to disconnect and you kind of create your regions, and that's the only people that you talk to. And so it sounds like you guys are like expanding past that to kind of allow other people to mingle outside the region and making sure that everybody's kind of networking in a sense that maybe they may not connect with somebody right next door to them, but somebody within the company that they can reach out to. I know you brought up something when we were talking about case acceptance, and I wanted to kind of re-bring it up. You said something, and I think it gets overlooked pretty frequently, is people using the same terminology. And I think that has a lot to do with how people get case acceptance. Can you kind of explain how does a team get on the same page with, you know, terminology, and what does that look like from, you know, the clinician side to the business assistant coming in to present that treatment plan?
Yes. And I can tell you in 2008, when I started and someone was talking about a temp, or a flipper. I remember this term, a flipper. Do you guys remember the term flipper? I was blown away. I was like on the phone with the patient, brand new team member at the front desk. And I was like, can I put you on hold? What is a flipper? Is that a dolphin? Like what? There's nothing in my brain that will ever connect what a flipper is to what it really was. And I'm like, oh, so it's a partial. Okay. I didn't even know what a partial was at the time. They had to like draw it out and all the things. But that terminology is rough coming in if you're not from the dental background. And then from there, each office kind of does have their own flow with it.
Call so instruments they, different know, things. Yep.
Hygiene specifically. Is it deep planing? Is it scaling and root planing? Like, and just being consistent. So the best that I've seen offices do is really they sit down in a team meeting and they decide what are we going to use? And then they hold each other accountable. If someone says it, they get, you know, the feedback, a little post-it note, like, hey, you said it, make sure that we're saying this. Because the more that you can create that habit, create that routine of using that terminology, the better you're going to get at it. Because everybody comes from different backgrounds. We have, you know, other people from other DSOs, or we have private practice, or we have brand new from outside the dental world. And so it is a combination and then working on it as a team. So the team meeting is the best place to just decide as a team what is going to be used.
I think that makes it easier on the patient too, because I mean, I was checking out somebody a couple of years ago and it just like hit me like how big terminology is important, because, you know, doctor was referring to cavities, and then at checkout, they were like, well, I need to get scheduled for my cavities. And then the girl's like, okay, let's get you scheduled for those fillings. And then the patient is like, huh? Like, what do you mean? And then she's like, doctor said I had cavities. Oh, yes, we never completed that. We're going to remove the cavity and fill it with fillings, you know? And so then there was just like a misunderstanding. So how many times has that happened to a patient when you, like you said, we're talking about three different ways to call deep cleaning, like scaling and root planning. Does the patient think that's three different things they have wrong with them? Or is it one and they can relate it to one another?
I love this idea. I think every practice should do that, especially because from the patient side, and I'm a big communication, like not over here, but secondly, like from like you, like this, a flipper, like, and there are some team members that might, instead of like asking, they just might go with the, like instead of, maybe I'll figure it out later, like for fear of like being embarrassed of asking what that acronym stands for or whatever it is. Right. I mean, going from dentistry to tech, Jessica and I can attest. They use acronyms for everything. And I'm like today, like they used PMS, which For a small business, like PMI, it's just Eagle. Like, it's our computer system. Is that what you're talking about? Like, are you talking about like menstrual cycles? Like, I don't know what you're talking about. And like there's just so many things in the tech world. So like, I never really got that because I grew up in dentistry.
Yeah.
But coming from dentistry to tech. And that's kind of like, we had a thing on our Slack channel of like one of our pet peeves. I didn't put this down, but actually this is like my pet peeve is people assuming you know what they're talking about when they use this, like a term that is like not well known. Right.
Oh yeah.
And so I love that. And also like, even in your notes, you know, like if you always in your notes, you know, put like RC polish, then every hygienist or everybody that reads that note should know that that stands for rubber cup polish. Right.
No,
I love that idea.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
See, and that's such a great point. I mean, acronyms, we use them all the time in Heartland, but we also took a test on them pretty frequently to know, you know, what you know what you're talking about.
I think acronyms. I gave you that test, to be honest.
Probably.
I am so passionate about the acronyms for that reason, Katie, because people would use acronyms and I'd be like, what are you talking about? And again, I came from the medical world. I wasn't in dental. And so we got some crazy ones, you know, like Ohio, why do we have the state? That's an acronym. And I didn't. So Katie, you're saying, I'm glad you didn't just assume. Well, I did for a little bit. And I was like, why are we talking about Ohio? Finally, I just leaned over to somebody. Why are we talking about Ohio? Only like, it once.
Yeah.
Like, get it done. But so when I started my training, I was like, this will be a fun activity. I love to create. So I put all of our acronyms on a sheet and then like, what do you think they are? And then we go through the answers and I still do it to this day. Jessica, I know you're not surprised. The list has grown for sure. And I have a new hire meeting that I do monthly and it's included in that. So.
Yeah. Even like in individual, like, so like your particular practices within your company, like doctors call certain instruments different words, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, the hat tool. I don't know. What's that top hat thing? I don't know. I don't know the real word for it. You know?
Don't know that one.
Called the top hat tool. Okay.
I'm gonna find out though.
I need to know now.
Dentists are like rolling over. You idiot. Like, I don't know what it's called, people. I just called it a top hat.
Katie, I think it's time for your ultimate question that you love to ask.
That went by
everybody.
So fast.
My gosh.
Sarah, thank you so much for taking the time to, with your busy schedule too. And we had to move this because I was sick. So just so grateful. So one of the last question we ask all of our guests is an important one to Dental Intelligence because growth means something different to everyone. And it means a lot to us here at Dental Intelligence. And I would imagine it means a lot to everyone at Heartland. So what does growth in dentistry mean to you?
Growth in dentistry for sure would be evolving with the patient care in mind. So I think it's important that the patient is always our focus, number one. Again, they're the ones giving us the case acceptance, right? If we don't have them, we don't have a business. But we can't stay the same. And change can be scary, but we have to continuously look for the change. So it's looking for those opportunities, asking for feedback from our patients, from our teams, from outside the company. And then applying the feedback. So I think that if we can evolve in that way, and the patient's always the focus, we're gonna grow as not a company, you know, outside of that as a whole.
Perfect. Awesome. Well, it's been a pleasure. I hope that we get to talk to you again, or I get to meet you in real life.
I would love that.
Yeah. All right. Well, this has been Growth in Dentistry and Dental Intelligence podcast. Thank you to Jessica for joining me. And thank you, Sarah, for joining us as well. If people want to reach out to you or ask a question, how can they get a hold of you if you're all right with that?
Sure. I will give my personal email. Mail is sallen0000@yahoo.com. You also can find me at LinkedIn at That's awesome. Sarah Allen. And I can share that with you too, Katie.
Okay. I'll make sure that those links are also in our show notes. Awesome. Super great. All right. Thank you to our marketing department as well on their work on this podcast. Kat and Brittany, you're the best. I'm Katie Polson. Keep growing.